It was the beginning of the summer of 1989. As I opened the windows to my kitchen, I got a breath of fresh air, and the smell of lilacs plummeted into the room. Amy's tiny bare feet pitter-pattered across the hardwood floors as she yelled, "Let's go shopping, Mommy!" Gosh, was she cute. I know, every little two-year-old is cute, but not one nearly as cute as my little girl. She had dancing blue eyes, high cheekbones, long dark hair, and a smile that lit up the room. Oh, she was special, and she had a personality to go with it. "We can't go shopping today, honey," I said. "Mommy has to go to work." I was a single mother and a flight attendant when I first had Amy. I did not want to keep flying, so I had taken a leave from Continental Airlines and began selling Yellow Page advertising. I kept Amy home with me in the mornings and conducted business in the afternoon while she was being taken care of by a wonderful daycare provider named Ruth Gibbons. After that, I either took her back for the evening or she had limited visitation with her father, who I had divorced due to domestic violence and emotional abuse I had endured throughout the marriage and pregnancy. I told Amy to come upstairs. We had to get ready to leave. She began counting the stairs. 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the way up to 16. She took her bath, and afterwards I smoothed Johnson baby lotion all over her little body. She looked and smelled so clean. Then I put her long, dark hair in a high ponytail and helped her into her favorite pink dress. As we drove to the daycare providers, I imagined her father picking her up from her visitation this afternoon for his 3-hour visit and going nuts over her. She was such a doll. The evening when I arrived at her father's house to pick her up, I rang the doorbell, but no one answered. I rang it again and knocked a few times. Still, no answer. Finally, he came to the door and told me that Amy was sick. Funny, she hadn't been sick earlier that day. As he went upstairs to get her, I looked around at his place. It was filthy. The vacuum cleaner sat in the same spot for 3 months. There was food all over the place, the house stunk, and Amy's beautiful clothes were strewn about the living room floor. When he brought her down, Amy was wet, nude, and limp in his arms. Her arms dangled at her sides, her ponytail was out of its band, and her hair was matted. She was soaked with sweat. My heart sunk and my gut pulled tight. What the hell happened to her? Her father looked at me with a smirk on his face. "I can't believe what I'm seeing." He said, "She's sick." I didn't understand what had happened. All I wanted to do was get her out of there. I began grabbing and collecting her things. "That's funny," I said. "She was fine a few hours ago." I quickly got her dressed and out of the filthy place. I think that was one of the first times that Derek sexually abused our daughter. That smirk on his face used to wake me up at 2 a.m, causing me to sit upright in my bed. He was abusing Amy right in front of my face, and his attitude was that of O.J. Simpson's, like, "What are you going to do about it?" Same smirk. I am telling you our story because I want to change a judicial system that is detrimental to sexually abused children. I write this book with the best interest of the child in mind and to acknowledge the pain that is inflicted upon families by our inept and biased judicial system, a system designed to fail a child and protect the abuser. There is unequivocal need for courtroom reform and more adequate training for judges, lawyers, therapists, social workers, and court-appointed evaluators. A mother's first instinct is to protect her child, and when the means and power to do this are stripped unjustly from a mother, there are no words to describe the constant heartache that is felt as each day passes by.